We're going to commence our meeting this morning by singing the hymn 97. The hymn 97, one day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwells amongst men, my example is he. We'll stand to sing this lovely hymn, please.
Thank you.
Amen. That was really good singing. I wonder, did you notice something about this hymn as you sang it this morning? You just sung the gospel message. Because in verse 1, we're told about the virgin birth. In verse 2, we're told about Calvary. In verse 4, we're told about the resurrection. And in verse 5, he's coming again. We've just sung the gospel message this morning. What a blessing it is to know that our Lord's coming again. Let's come to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless your soul as he blessed my soul as I prepared this message. This Psalm 18 one morning was my part of my reading. And as I read down this 18th Psalm, there were four things that just jumped out at me that blessed my soul. And I pray this morning that they'll bless your soul as we look up to them this morning. O God, our Father in heaven, we come into your holy presence this Lord's Day morning. And Lord, we thank thee for what we have been singing. We thank thee for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this old world as a little child and took on human flesh, but it was spotless, pure flesh. He was the Son of God. Lord, we thank thee on that middle tree in Calvary. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Amen. But Lord, we thank thee, you're not on the tree. And Lord, we sang this morning that the stone was rolled away. It wasn't to let you out. It was to let the people see that you had risen again. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, today you're the risen, exalted Saviour, ever making intercession for your people. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, that you've prayed for us. And Lord, I thank thee for that. But Lord, we thank thee, the last verse tells us that you're coming again. Lord, those in the meeting that know you as Saviour, we're only strangers to this world. We're just pilgrims passing through. Our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, one day we'll be with thee, which is far better. But Lord, we would pray for those in our meeting this morning. And Lord, they don't know you, Saviour. We pray that this morning that they may come and trust thee and be ready. We thank thee, O God, our Father in heaven, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. Lord, we thank thee for hearing the boys and girls in church this morning. And Lord, I thank thee for Sunday school teachers, faithful men and women. I thank thee for a faithful Sunday school teacher that prayed for me and had a desire for my soul. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless the Sunday school teachers in this house. Lord, bless the children. Lord, may the seed be buried deep in their hearts. And may each Sunday school teacher have the joy of seeing these young lives won for thee. Lord, I pray for the work in this house. Lord, I thank thee for the elders and committee. I thank thee, Lord, for the congregation. And Lord, we pray especially for those who would love to be here this morning, but because of ill health or some reason can't be here. May they realize standing somewhere in the shadows they'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, they'll find him and they'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Lord, I pray that you'll bless in this house this morning. Bless the singing of the hymns, the reading of your precious word. Hide man behind the cross. We haven't come to hear man speak this morning. We've come to hear thee speak. And Lord, there could be those in our meeting this morning, and they're carrying burdens that nobody knows. But Lord, we thank thee. The old hymn says, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Lord, bless. Take complete control of this meeting this morning. Speak loudly, we pray. And we'll give thee all the praise and all the honour and every bit of the glory. Amen. Our second hymn this morning is the hymn 310. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. We'll start to sing this lovely hymn, please. Could we turn to Psalm 18 this morning, please? Psalm 18. As I was saying to you, one morning this psalm was part of my Bible reading. And there were four things that jumped out that blessed my soul. And I just made a note of them so that I can pass this on to you folks this morning. It says at the head of this psalm, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul. Verse 1. And I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. And I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and a fire from off his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was upon his feet. And he rode upon a cherubim, and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters, and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows, and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings, and discomforted them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered, at the rebuke, at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the forward thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. And we'll know the Lord will bless his own infallible word to our hearts this morning. I'm going to ask our brother to make the necessary announcements, please.
Warm welcome to the house of God this morning. We're glad to see you here. We appreciate your presence in the service. And to others who are listening, perhaps at home and online, we do extend that welcome to yourselves as well. We do give a warm welcome this morning to our preacher, Mr. Tommy Gilmore, an elder in our Martyrs Memorial Congregation down in Belfast. I've known Tommy for many years, and it's good to renew that fellowship with him. We trust that he'll know the help and blessing of God as he ministers the word to us today. Remember the season of prayer tonight at 6:30, the gospel service at 7 p.m. We're encouraged to see a good number in the prayer meeting this morning. We do exhort you to come to those seasons of prayer for preparation of your own heart as you come to worship the Lord. So do remember the service this evening, and our brother Tommy will be back to bring the word in the gospel. Do remember that this being the third Sunday of the month, the retiring offering at both services today for the work of the Missionary Council. Just while we're on that note, you'll see on the tables as you go out the latest update, the missionary news regarding all the lands that the Free Church operates, all the works, the individual missionaries, the needs that are brought before them, are brought before you. And we trust that you will lift those, read them, pay attention to them, and pray more especially for the needs that are brought before you, please. And then also, Joan and myself were at the meeting on Friday evening. There's another list that after today I put up on the board. There's special projects that are in place with regard to each one of those works, costs that are involved in running those works, needs that are met, financial needs, and we do bring that to your attention. It may be the Sunday school, young people, whatever, may want to maybe take one of those and adopt them. And if you do see myself, we're trying to control this. This has gone out to all our churches, so other churches will obviously be looking at this as well. We've already had one of them has been allocated, so please remember that. But at the end of the service today, I'll put that on the church notice board for you to refer to in days to come. The church annual report is also on the tables. Please pick those up as you leave the service. And also, the last opportunity, please, just for the signing of the sheets in the hall or on the moon table there in the hallway, relation to the call of the Reverend Timothy Omerod there on the table. If you haven't signed it, please add your name to that list as well. Tomorrow morning then, the meetings for the incoming week, 10:30 a.m, the Little Sunbeams parent and toddlers meeting in the church hall. Those that are involved, please remember that, and will be appreciated, your attendance at that service. Then on Wednesday evening, our midweek meeting, it will be a deputation meeting for Let the Bible Speak. We don't know yet just who the speaker is that has been allocated for that meeting, but the Reverend Murray will be along himself to lead that meeting on Wednesday evening. Then next Lord's Day, the 28th of May, Sunday school, the children will be starting their preparation for the Children's Day services. They had the Sunday school exam this morning. Glad to have it over. And we pray that you'll bless and remember the children as they now start preparation for Children's Day. At 11 a.m. the prayer meeting. Again, we exhort you to come. And then the family worship service at 11:30. And the Reverend Larry Parr, one of the retired ministers, will be along to bring the word. And then after the morning service next Lord's Day, we will be holding our communion service. Please remember that. 6:30, the season of prayer. Then the gospel service. The Reverend Parr will be along again to bring the word. Some other announcements just for to bring them to your attention. There is a gospel tent mission being held in the Belfast Road, Cumber. It's under the auspices of our Cumber Free Presbyterian Church, running from next Sunday, Sunday the 28th, through to Sunday the 11th of June. Sunday services are at 6:30, and then the meetings during the week, Monday to Friday, are 8 p.m. The evangelist is the Reverend Thomas Martin. Again, after we finish the announcements today, I'll put the little card up on the notice board in the hall for your reference. Again, the little cards on the table, the Lockern Fundamentalist Conference in August. Please remember that as well. Then I was just handed this morning a publication that has been compiled and written by Dr. Stanley Barnes, The Lord is My Shepherd, a little book, an inspirational treasury on the 23rd Psalm that's familiar to us all. We learned it at Sunday school. We learned it in the children's meetings. And so Dr. Barnes has produced this little book. And the proceeds from it will go to taking Deborah House girls on holiday this summer. The girls will attend a camp in the mountains with a team from Northern Ireland. The price for that book is $6.95. If you would like one of them, I haven't had the chance to prepare a list, but I'll be out in the hall afterwards, and if you want one, I'll take your name, and then you can pay for it at a later date. We commend that book and the reason for that book to you this morning. Just to remember those that need our prayers. Remember our brother Eric Barnes. He went through the operation this week, currently recovering at home. I know he would value your prayers, and we bring that matter to you as well. One other matter just to bring to you. Some of you will know the name Frank McMullen. Frank came in and out the service. His son's buried up in the graveyard. Joan bumped into him at the garage. He's had bad news regarding his health. He asked that we would pass on that Mr. Smiley visit him. He did. Strove with him and spoke to him about coming to Christ. But Frank had this request of Mr. Smiley that the congregation here would pray for him. And so I'm passing that on to you. Remember Frank, he's unsaved. And while he has a great physical need, there's a greater need for God's salvation. Frequent in the pub, well known about the village. What a trophy of grace he would be if God saved him and brought him to Christ. We'll leave those issues with you this morning, and we trust that you'll take them to heart, please. We're going to hand the rest of the meeting over to your brother Tommy. Tommy, we give you a welcome, and we ask it, trust that you'll know the help of God today as you bring the word to us. Thank you.
I do thank our brother for his words of welcome. It's a real joy and a privilege for me to be here this morning and to have fellowship. His dear wife and himself have been friends of mine for many years. As I look across the congregation, I see many more friends that I've made down through these years. My wife used to say to me, Tommy, don't you talk about old friends. Talk about friends. So as I look across, I'm looking at friends. It's a real joy and a privilege to be with you. We're going to turn to our hymn 390, and we'll keep our seats as the tithes and offerings are taken up for God's work in this house. Dear Saviour, thou art mine. How sweet life, the thought to me. Let me repeat thy name and lift thy heart to thee. We'll keep our seats. As we come to God's Word this morning, let us ask the Lord that He speak to our hearts. And maybe if you're in the meeting or tuned in and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, that this morning you might come and trust Him. O God, our Father in heaven, as we come into Your holy presence again, Lord, I ask that You'll wash me, cleanse me in the blood, and make me a vessel fit for the Master's use. Lord, I need Your help. Hide man behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. And Lord, I pray that You'll bless Your word. Lord, take complete control, and we'll give Thee all the praise and honour and glory. Amen. We read this morning in Psalm 18 that God's way is perfect. God's way is perfect. The setting of the song is most helpful. It arose from David's heart in the time of piercing trial. Saul had lost out with God and was rejected as king. So David had been anointed king in his place. Saul's jealousy knew no bounds, and he determined to destroy David. In his deep trial, David turned to his God. And we read in verse 6 of Psalm 18, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." Here we see David as a praying man, and God was found to be a prayer-hearing God. Brothers and sisters, the greater difficulties that we lie in, the way of deliverance, the more glorious the deliverance is. God will not only deliver His people out of their troubles in due time, but He will sustain them and undertake for them. We see David in verse 1. He says, after the death of Saul and the conquest of all the succeeding enemies, David professed his love for God. He says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength." You know, the Bible tells each believer today that we have to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and with all our souls. And child of God, can I challenge you this morning as God challenged me? Do I love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my soul? You know, Psalm 18 is a wonderful psalm about the life of David. And in it also have the truth of what our Saviour has done for David and can also do for you, child of God. David came through many battles, but the results were good, as God never let him down and always saw him through. No matter what the problem was, he trusted in his Lord. We can have the same results as David did if we simply put our problems to the Lord. If we put our failures to the Lord, He will undertake for us. God always watched over David, and he overcame through the Lord. You know, child of God, the Lord also watches over you, and He will look after you. We read in Psalm 18, verses 30 and 32, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way straight." I want you to notice this morning that expression in verse 30. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. God speaks of my way, and God speaks of His way. And this is where the great battle happens in the children of God. The old flesh wants to go its way. It doesn't want to go God's way. It's easy to say God's way is perfect when everything is rosy, when everything is going great. But you know, when the problems and the trials come, is it easy to say God's way is perfect? Yes, it is. because everything that God does is perfect. The Lord is working in our lives to transform us so that we come to believe and trust in Him, so that we can say His way is perfect. I want us first of all this morning to consider that our God delivers. Our God delivers. David could say in verse 1 to 3 that God delivers. It says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation. My high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. David could say that God is strength. David could say that God is a rock. David could say that God is a fortress. David could say that God is a buckler. David could say that God is a horn and a high tower. But he also said that God is a deliverer. But you know, notice something. Notice the personal pronoun. He could say something else about this. David could say, He is my strength. He could say, He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my buckler. He is my horn and my high tower. You know, child of God, you can also say that. When the enemies attack you, when things are not right and you feel down, you know, you can say, like David, He is my strength. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my buckler. And He is my deliverer. David is running. He's running. He is fleeing to the rock. Saul and Absalom want to see him killed. But David runs to his Lord. We read in verse 11. He says, He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. You know, child of God, that's the same for you and me. When the enemy comes and brings temptations and brings things to us, they are too strong for us. We need to come to the Lord. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 and 12, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to run to our Savior. I love that Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. You know, the men that would climb up into the Himalayas and these different places, they used to carry a tent with them, and it was called the refuge tent. And when the winds would blow, and when the snow would come, and when they needed nourishment, they would put up what they called the refuge tent. And they would go into that refuge tent, and they would get strength to keep going. Where do we get strength? Well, the Bible tells us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, David went to the Lord. He knew that the Lord could deliver him. And the Lord delivered him. As I was travelling over this morning, another person came into my mind. A man called Daniel. And Daniel was put into the lion's den. And as he was in that lion's den, Billy Sunday, that great American preacher, in his own way, he said, you know, Daniel had the best pillow, because he just put his head on the mane of the lions, because the Lord delivered him. Oh, what a blessing, child of God, to know that God delivers. And you know, child of God, you should thank God that He has delivered you from sin, that He has delivered you from the punishment, and that He, on that cross, sent our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a preacher going across to America, and he was travelling in the plane, and he was sitting reading. And the man beside him was an American, and he said, Sir, that's a beautiful book you're reading. What is the book you're reading? The preacher says, "This is my Bible." He says, "Oh, are you a minister?" He says, "Yes." He says, "I'm going to America to preach the gospel." The American man said, "I've never had a Bible in my hand before. Can I see it?" The preacher said, "You certainly can. There it is." The preacher had been reading Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment. And as that man read down, he said, "Sir, what is this? What is this great white throne?" The preacher said, "This is men and women who have rejected God's way of salvation. They've sat in gospel meetings. They've had gospel tracts given to them. They've heard their loved ones praying for them. And they have rejected God's way of salvation. They thought they could get to heaven their own way." And he says, "Who are these people?" The preacher said, "Read on. The great, the small, the rich, the poor." The man closed the book. And he said, "Can you be delivered from this?" The preacher said, "You certainly can. Because the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus came into the world on that middle tree on Calvary. He took his people's sin. And you can come and trust him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The American said, "Can I get saved now?" The preacher said, "You certainly can." And he had the joy of leading them to the Lord. He said, "I would love to have a Bible." The preacher said, "That's your Bible." He said, "What are you going to do? You need that Bible for preaching." He says, "I'll get one in America." Many months later, the preacher had come home. And his wife said, "There's a letter from America here for you." He opened the letter, and it was from the man on the plane. And he says, "Preacher, I just want to tell you something. My family will not be at the great white throne judgment because they got delivered through reading your Bible." Maybe you're in this meeting this morning, or maybe you're listening in this morning, and you would say to me, "Tommy, I would love to be a Christian, but I can't be delivered from the sins of my life. They're too hard for me." Yes, you're right, you can't. But you know, there's a hymn in our book, and it says, "He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood avails for me." Oh friend, if you want delivered from sin, the precious blood of Jesus cleanseth all sin. Trust him as your own and personal Savior. Child of God, what a blessing it is to know that our God delivers. But I want you to notice also that our God delights. In verse 19, David could say, "He delivered me because he delighted in me." When I read that morning, I shouted a hallelujah. To think that God delights in his children. He delighted in David. David went astray many times. But praise God, he came back to the Lord. And that's why the Lord could say that he delighted in him. Verse 19, "He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighteth in me." Proverbs 13 and 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delights." You know, as a father delights in his children, God delights on you, on me, if we're walking with him. I have three children, two boys and a girl. And I remember they would come to me and they would say, "Dad, can we go here? Or Dad, could I have this?" And there was times I had to say to them, "No, you can't go there. Or you can't have this." It wasn't because I didn't delight in them. It wasn't because I didn't love them. But it's because I knew what was good for them. And you know, child of God, you may be praying for something that you think is good. But you know the Lord knows what's good for you. And if he doesn't give you it, it's not because he doesn't delight in you. God delights in his children. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world There we see the greatest ever love. In this world we have a love for husband and wife. We have a love for children. We have a love for friends. But the greatest ever love that came into this world was for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There we see the greatest ever gift. I love Christmas. I love giving gifts at Christmas or my birthday. But you know the greatest gift, friends, that came into this world was the Lord Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. There we see the greatest ever salvation. You know, the amazing thing is not that I love God. The amazing thing is that God loves me. The little children's hymn, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells him his love and the word he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. Oh, this is dearest, that Jesus loves me. Child of God, take this home with you this morning. If you're walking on that perfect path, he delights in you. But maybe you're not on that path, perfect path. Maybe you wandered off it. Maybe your first love is gone. Friend, he loves you. He wants you back again. And if you come back to him, he will delight in you. But you maybe say to me, Tommy, I'm sitting here this morning, or I'm listening in this morning, and I have many burdens in my life. There was a man called John Muir. And John Muir was in Glasgow. And he would go around the docks in Glasgow. And he would go and speak to the sailors. He would go onto the ship. One day John went onto the ship. And he said to the captain, can I speak to your men? The captain said, I'm sorry. All my men are on shore leave. But he said, you can do a good thing for me. One of our youngest men is in the hospital. Would you go and visit him? John said, I certainly will. He went along and he found the young man and he asked about his background and he asked everything. Then he put to him the way of salvation. And he saw a tear in the young fellow's eyes. And he said, you know, sir, I would love to be a Christian, but I have carried too many burdens in my life. John started to tell him the story of Pilgrim's Progress, how the burden rolled off Christian's back. And he told him also about the burdens that he had through his life. The young man said to him, will you give me a minute or two to myself? And John decided that he would go along. He came back again and there was a smile on the young fellow's face. And John says, what happened? He says, the burden's gone. He says, I've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. And you know, John would visit that young man many a time, and he was rejoicing. But one night, John was sitting at Muir at his bedside, or at his fireside, and these words came into his heart. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul the Saviour can see. Every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. That young man had the burdens lifted. And he was rejoicing. Oh friends, what a blessing it is, child of God, to know that God delights in you if you're walking with him. But friend, if you're not saved in this meeting or tuned in, he can't delight in you because you have sin in your life. He's a holy God and he can't look on sin. If you come and trust him this morning as your own and personal Saviour, then he can delight on you. We have seen our God delivers. We have seen our God delights. I want us to see finally our God directs. Our God directs. David could say in verse 21, for I have kept the way of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. In verse 30, he said, the word of the Lord is tried. That word tried could be changed to proven. David said, I have kept God's word. God directs us through his word. If you want God to direct you, he will direct your life through his statutes, through his word. We read in Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. You know, we need to keep on that perfect path. We need to ask the Lord to keep us on that perfect path. The Bible tells us that his way is perfect. David could say, I found God's way and made it my way. Do you want his way, child of God, to be your way? Then yield to what he wants for your life. But you know, sadly, many Christians want to go their way, which is the wrong way. Jonah was told by the Lord to go to Nineveh. He was told, I want you to go to preach to the people in Nineveh. But he wanted to live his life his way, the way of disobedience. But praise God, in Jonah chapter 3, we read that the word of the Lord came the second time to Jonah. And Jonah got on the right path, on the way. My friend, our prayer should be, I want his way to be my way. I want to be yielded to what God wants for me. He will direct the path I go. The Lord, we should pray each morning, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Just in closing, there were two disciples, and they were on the road to Emmaus. They had been in Jerusalem, and they had seen the Lord crucified. They seen him put into the tomb. And as they were walking along, they were so downhearted, they forgot everything about it, what he had said, that on the third day he would rose again. As they were walking along, the Saviour walked with them. And they were so, you could say, backslidden that they didn't even recognize the Lord. But what happened when their eyes were open? They said, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us by the way? I would have loved to have been at that Bible class to hear what the Lord spoke to those men. And what happened to these disciples? They'd done a roundabout turn and headed back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples that the Lord was risen. Child of God, take this home with you this morning. Our God delivers. Our God directs. Our God delights. At my wife's funeral, I was handed a little poem, and the preacher read this poem out at his wife's graveside. And it says, my father's way may twist and turn, my heart might throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark, and it may be that day will never break, I'll put my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There is so much I cannot see, my eyesight's far too dim, but come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mists will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Though all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. Our God delivers. Our God directs. Our God delights. And our God's way is perfect. These were the things that blessed my soul. And I pray that will bless your soul, child of God. And if you don't know Christ as your Saviour, my prayer is that you can say that God delivers, that God delights, that God directs, and God's way is perfect. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing the hymn 411, I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlight heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart of the whitest snow, on me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. We'll stand the same place. For your word this morning. We thank thee that our God directs. We thank thee that our God delights. And our God delivers. And our God's way is perfect. Lord, keep us on that perfect path. And Lord, bless each child of God. And Lord, if there's those that tune in or in the meeting this morning that know you're not a Saviour, Lord, that you can't delight in them. But Lord, if they trust you and come and trust you as their Lord and Saviour, you can then delight in them. Now, Lord, spread thy covering wings around, till all our wandering cease, and at our Father's blessed abode, our souls arrive in peace. Amen.